When asked who he is, John the Baptizer quotes from Isaiah, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And these words have become so familiar to us that it's easy to just gloss right over them. But imagine for a moment that you live in a wilderness area, somewhere where it's hard to live. You don't see many people. You just manage to get by. Perhaps you're a goat herder, walking your goats wherever there's scrub for them to eat. Now imagine that someone comes by saying, no, yelling that the king is coming. At first you might dismiss it as fake news. Then, being Americans, you might wonder why anybody would care. But what if rather than a king, they were saying that your favorite musician was coming to give a concert in the desert and to meet the people living there? Dolly Parton has been called the Queen of Country, though she doesn't like the title, so I'll go with her. Suppose in your scrubby, barren life, someone arrives shouting that Dolly is coming! Dolly is coming right here to meet all us goat herders and other people scraping out a living, and so we should build an amphitheatre so we can see and hear her better. Now, you still might think it was fake news, but maybe not. Maybe there'd be a glimmer of hope, even of excitement. And as you started bringing together earth and rocks to make the amphitheatre, it would get more and more real. There would be hope in your life because you listened to that person, to that voice crying in the wilderness, make an amphitheatre for the Queen of Country. Wilderness is such an important idea in the biblical narrative that if we were doing film criticism, we might say that it is a character in its own right. John the Baptizer preached in the wilderness. The Hebrews wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus himself spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. Some of the most powerful images of hope used by Isaiah and other prophets are those of rivers in the desert, even pools in the desert, and the wilderness blossoming with beautiful flowers. It is a liminal place, a place where things are not what they have been and not what they will be. A place of change, of character building, of turning to God and of God turning to us. Did you know that if the Hebrews had used the direct route, they would have gotten to the promised land a whole lot quicker? It's a little over 5,000 miles. So if they walked 5 miles a day, they could have done it in, actually no, my math's wrong here, but they could have done it a lot quicker. I'm not going to tell you what I thought it was, because that's wrong, I can tell. But anyway, if they walked 5 miles a day straight, they would have got there much quicker than 40 years. But they didn't. And in the book of Exodus, we read that God led the people round about by the way of the wilderness at the Sea of Reeds. God led them by a roundabout route. And although the journey through the wilderness from slavery to freedom was undoubtedly filled with trials and tribulations, yet ultimately through that circuitous route, they became a unified nation, a people of Israel. They could not have imagined when they left Egypt in such a hurry that there was no time to make leavened bread, that they would spend generations getting to the promised land, the life that they had hoped and longed for. And we could not have imagined back in March that this journey through the wilderness of COVID would be so circuitous, would take so long, and would be so costly. Yet God used the time in the wilderness to form his people, the Israelites. God used Jesus' time in the desert to form his character and teach him about living spiritually and intentionally. God took people into the desert, into the wilderness, to hear John and to be baptized as they realized they were sinful and in need of repentance and forgiveness. God uses the wilderness to form her people into something new and different. While we are wandering in this wilderness, longing for the promised land of freedom, when we can see friends and family, travel and play together as we love to, as we are wandering in the wilderness of COVID, just like the ancient people, God is forming us into the church that we are becoming. New forms are always continuous with old ones. Even as new religious movements emphasize new understandings of God and discard rituals and beliefs that no longer fit, God is leading us forward. So we need not be afraid of this process of change, even though there seems to be no clear direction. That succinct reading we heard this morning from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica tells us exactly what we are to do during this time. He says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." That's worth putting on your fridge. Now, having been called by God and reconciled to him by the loving and fearless work of our Redeemer, we get to be faithful and look to be sanctified, to be made holy. And our part in that is to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. That is what we do in the wilderness. It's not always easy. Life in the wilderness really is. We are all touched by grief. Some of us are battered by grief and loss. Some of us are weighed down by mental illness and family stress. The rest of us need to do their rejoicing and praying for them. It's difficult to pray when you hurt all over or you can't stop crying, which is why we hold one another in prayer. And hold fast to the knowledge that God is good and that nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. As we go through this wilderness experience together, we are being formed into something new, into the body of Christ in a different form. And we don't know what this will look like. But along the way, we are called to be the voice of hope. We are called to be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." We are the children of the light, and we have a message of hope for our time, and that message is simple. God is here with us. Rejoice and be glad, for we are not alone, and our God is the God of resurrection. That is the voice we need to hear, and that is the voice that we get to be. The voice of the people of God, amplifying the voice of the Christ. Christ is here, and Christ is coming, so let's get busy building the amphitheater. I'm going to end by reading you a beautiful blessing written by Jan Richardson. It's called, "Blessed Are You Who Bear the Light." Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar, where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you in unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds.